Before we hear the message, let's pray together. Let's turn to God in prayer. Our blessed and our heavenly Father, we commend this time now to thee. We ask, Lord, that even in these moments, Lord, before we hear thy word, hear the message tonight, we pray that prepare our hearts and that we may have ears that are open to thee and to thy voice, to thy word. Our hearts too may be open like Lydia's, to receive thy word into them, and that it might be spiritually profitable for us. Do, Father, use thy servants, Lord, tonight, we pray. Use them as thy mouthpiece. Speak through them, Lord, we pray, but may they, as it were, disappear. May Christ appear, and may he speak kindly and gently to his people, encouraging them, Father, to be the people that he would have them to be. So do hear us now, Lord, and do help us through, do bear us, Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, Lord, through this message, Lord, and help us in our preaching it, help us in our hearing it. May it be to thy glory, and we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, I want to start tonight with this 29th verse of the 11th chapter of the first gospel, the gospel according to Matthew. It's almost right at the end of this chapter where we have our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ speaking to all those who laboured and were heavy laden. And amongst certain things that he speaks to them about, he speaks about his own heart. And I just want to carry on this subject or theme about the heart this evening. So he says to these people, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." So tonight, dear friends, we begin with this text in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, where our Lord Jesus Christ is able to do this, of course, because of his incarnation and his coming as a man, his being fully man without sin. He speaks here to those who laboured and were heavy laden on account of the law, on account of the rabbis' teaching, on account of their guilt and sin. He speaks to them here about his heart, the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, referring there to his human heart, not his physical heart, of course, but his spiritual heart within him, the heart of our Saviour Jesus Christ itself. He also speaks about his yoke. I'm not going to go into that this evening. He also speaks about their souls, which is one thing that we have here. The window that he gives to us is a window upon his own particular heart and what he was like. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And if he was and is, so then are his people to be. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." When our Lord here speaks there about his heart, he is, as we saw this morning, his heart just like our hearts, because to say he was fully human yet without sin, he's referring to the centre of his personality, his human personality. It's sometimes translated in scripture this as the mind, but the very central citadel of himself as a human being. And that's the same description, definition of his heart it is to our hearts this evening. He also speaks about the heart in the following chapter, in Matthew chapter 12, and verses 34 and 35, where he says not about his own heart, but about others. He says there to the Pharisees, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, of man's heart," like he had a heart, at the centre of the personality, this very central citadel of a person as a human being, "out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So, dear friends, this text here tonight in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, are these words of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning his heart, and this definition and this other reference to the heart bring us back to this subject of our hearts and your hearts. And I want us to continue our short series on this. I don't want to labour this. I don't want to go too long about this. This might be the last message that I preach on this. But I trust that what I have to say to you about this tonight will be helpful to you. I think that it may come as something of a warning to us. It might come as something of a rebuke to us and a correction to us. But also I trust that some of what I have to say about this may come as an encouragement to you also and a comfort to you. I want us to consider not so much the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, though we come back to that in a little while, because what he was like is an example and a pattern for each one of us as Christians, a pattern for us that we are to emulate. But I want to consider our hearts and what they can be like as Christian people. So I want to consider two descriptions tonight, really about the spiritual height of our hearts, if you like. And just watching over our hearts and being careful about them, where they are in terms of spiritual height, if you like. So first of all, I notice there are a number of descriptions in the Bible that say that our hearts, as believers, as Christian believers, dealing with believers tonight, like unbelievers this morning, that they may be spiritually lifted up. And we have to be very careful about this, lest God has to humble us in some way or another. But also, my dear friends, and this is how we are to be always before God and also before others, as servants to them, our hearts may be those which are spiritually lowly. And I want to challenge you tonight and ask you what your heart is like, whether it's the one or the other. We can be very quickly lifted up, but it can be very hard for us to be made humble again, to be made and to be kept humble under the mighty hand of God. So just beware of these things. Watch over your hearts. Beware the first and be encouraged to be like the second thing we're going to look at tonight. So first of all, Holy Scripture tells us, teaches us, God teaches us, the Spirit of God teaches us through these things and the writers that he used, that our hearts, my dear friends, very sad to say, because of sin, and sin still dwelling within us in these bodies of sin and death, and in our hearts, may sometimes be lifted up before God and over others too. And there are a number of descriptions which are given to us in the Bible that speak about this. So beware of these things. Beware of this today. Beware of this tonight. Beware of this week, that this doesn't happen to you, because anything can set it off. A word can set it off, an experience can set it off, can make our hearts like this, and it is dangerous for our hearts to get into this state, because God can discipline us as a result. God can chasten us. God can humble us to bring us down again, make us to go through hard things, make us to go through sufferings in order to make us small in our own eyes again. Oh, my dear friends, beware of pride. Beware of being lifted up. Beware of intellectual pride. Beware of any kind of pride whatsoever. Well, what might happen to our hearts? What have we got to watch out for? Well, one description we're given is this, that our hearts may sometimes be exalted. Maybe exalted. Again, it gives us that impression of being kind of spiritually kind of elevated in the wrong sense, being made spiritual, being made high, if you like, being set on high, being raised on high in the wrong kind of sense, perhaps over God and also over others, and looking down upon them. You know, Scripture uses the word exaltation sometimes in a good sense, but this is not in a good sense, it's in a bad sense. It's when our hearts are inflated and they're exalted. You know, just like our first parents, exalted against God, we can be exalted over, try and exalt ourselves over him and forget all about him, and also exalt ourselves over others and look down upon them. We read in Hosea chapter 13 and verse 6 about Ephraim, part of God's people, part of Israel. God saying to them, according to their pasture, so they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. God forbid, my dear friends, that it should ever be said of any one of us that we forget God and we forget our Lord Jesus Christ. When things go very well with us and we are full and we have plenty. It seemed to be the case with Ephraim, didn't it, in those days. Couldn't they plenty of pasture for their animals, plenty of flocks and herds, and they didn't feel they needed dependence upon God. They felt they were self-dependent. They didn't need him anymore. So they were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. So be careful, beware, watch out, especially if things are going well with you in a material sense, in a temporal sense. You have no needs to drive you to God, to humble yourself to him. You have everything that heart could wish. If God has filled you, as it were, beware that you forget him and exalt yourself over him. Beware of self and heart exaltation. Do you have an exalted heart tonight? And there are many ways in which we can get ourselves into a state like this, but there are many ways in which God can bring us down again. And I suppose one of the ways in which he can do that, he can begin to take things away. He can strip us of things and make us to see our need of him. He can humble us again. And when God does sometimes do that, when he takes things away from us, we ought to thank him for it if it drives us back closer to him and to a real dependence upon him. Another description of being spiritually lifted up is this, and it's almost onomatopoeic, isn't it? Being haughty, somebody who is haughty. It means here, somebody that is arrogant, begins to show arrogance against God and arrogance against others. Somebody who's disdainful of others, perhaps disdainful of other Christians, and look down their noses at other Christians for one reason or another. It's the showing that oneself above or over another or others, or to appear to be over somebody else. And my dear friends, you and I as Christians, we're not to be like that. We're not to be lords over others. We're to be servants. We're to be very low before God and low before others, serving one another, loving one another in this way. Not in a haughty way, but in a lowly way. Solomon counseled his son Rehoboam, and God, through Solomon, to everybody. In Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, here's the warning. And it's not only a warning for people who are not believers, it's a warning also for believers. You know, we have to be careful ourselves. If our hearts are lifted up, God will bring us down again. Because this kind of haughtiness is a real sin against him. It's an attack upon him, as it was lifting ourselves up against him. And he will put it down. He will put us down. He will keep us under, as it were, submitted to him. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honour is humility. There's the opposite of haughty. It is humility. Then in Jeremiah chapter 40 and verse 29, we have heard the pride of Moab, one of those nations that surrounded Israel. Here's all the words. Here are all the expressions of the descriptions of this. He is exceeding proud. His loftiness and his arrogancy and his pride and the haughtiness of his heart. I think Moab was one of those nations that was set physically high up in a mountain. They thought they were impregnable, and yet they weren't. They were attacked, and they were brought low. God humbled them for their haughtiness. And beware this, my dear, beware of this kind of heart. Beware of this kind of spirit. Exalting yourself before God and before other people. Beware of being haughty and arrogant and disdainful of others. Beware of that kind of spirit. It can creep in very easily indeed. If you don't walk with God, if you don't stay close to God, because my dear friends, if we stay close to God and we see how great he is and how gracious and how good he is, that keeps us in our place, as it were, small in our own eyes, if he is great. But if we don't walk with him, if we don't read his word daily, if we don't pray for grace, This kind of spirit can easily creep in. And it's damaging to us. It's damaging in our families. It leads to strife in our family, in our family life. And it leads to strife in church life as well. When there's this kind of spirit, this kind of carnal and fleshly and unspiritual spirit. Another description of this, it is being lifted up, drawn up on high, magnified, being spiritually lofty. Moses said this to all Israel, Deuteronomy 8:14, then thine heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord thy God. It's the same kind of scenario, actually, isn't it, here? Where God knew what the danger, what was going to happen when Israel came into Canaan, had everything the heart could wish. They had the grapes and they had the milk and they had the honey. There's a danger then of forgetting God, lifting up their heart before him and not depending upon him. And it is a danger today. I know that these are times of economic hardship, but still compared with a lot of other nations, we have everything that we need. And because there's no poverty, there's nothing really to drive us to God. There are many distractions too to drive us away from him. So be careful, my dear friends, in days where there is relative affluence in our country, where there's so many things on the shelves in supermarkets, so many things we can have and buy and fill our lives with and fill our homes with, fill our hearts with, that we are lifted up and forget God, don't really depend upon him and stay close to him. Sometimes, my dear friend, it's better not to have and to be without and to be close to God than to have everything you could want. And that drive a wedge between you and him. Sometimes want is a good thing. It keeps us close to him. It keeps us relying upon and lean upon him, trusting him, looking to him at all times. Thine heart be lifted up, thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. They were to remember about their redemption out of Egypt. That would keep them humble and stop them from being lifted up. And then Moses, again speaking to all Israel, later in Deuteronomy chapter 17 verse 20, speaks about the king, the danger of having a king, what the king might be like. My dear friend, the danger of position, the danger of being in office, the danger of having a little bit of power, and what that can do for us. The king, his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, like Saul was, and other of their kings too. That he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. But dear friend, if you hold a position, if you hold a position in church here, if you hold a position in the secular world, whatever kind of position it may be careful that your heart doesn't get lifted up. It can so easily happen, my dear friend. Our hearts are so sinful, so deceitful, so wicked. Just one small thing, one small experience, one small word can inflate them right up and puff them right up. They can be lifted up. The big word, of course, in Scripture is this, is proud, to be proud like a peacock, as we say. Proud means to be presumptuous. It means to be puffed up, vainglorious, full of self, self-importance. Not needing God. The word comes from the word, the Hebrew word means to boil as water. Something overflowing. Pride can bubble up in our hearts and can really overflow our hearts and our souls, completely take over. You think in the case of Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 26. Hezekiah, he was lifted up, wasn't he? He showed those people all around his kingdom. Again, the things that he had, his riches, his clothing, his wealth, the whole of his kingdom, Jerusalem. What a great place it was in those days. He was lifted up. God humbled him. How did he humble him? It didn't take personal possession. Well, he did take personal possessions away from him after a little while. Took his health away for a while, didn't he? That can be very humbling too, my dear friends. Illness, sickness, ill health, it can just show us how frail we are, how vulnerable we are, how small we are, how powerless we are, how weak we are, how fragile we are, and how few our days, how brief our lives are. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And Mary, in her Magnificat, Luke 1:51, she said these words under the inspiration of the Spirit: God has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. God does that. To humble people, he sometimes casts them out, and they're left to fend for themselves. God has many arrows in his quiver to deal with this spiritual malady, with spiritual pride. Do you, my dear friend, have a lifted up heart, a proud heart? Listen to Timothy Dudley Smith: tell out, my soul, the greatness of his God's might. Powers and dominions lay their glory by. Proud hearts and stubborn wills are put to flight. The hungry fed, the humble lifted high. And he'll deal with us the same way. Sin is sin with God, whether it be his people or not. You lift up your heart against him, you be proud against him, there's the possibility always of being cast down. He tends to do that, doesn't he? You think of Adam and Eve, their pride against him, cast them out of Eden. You think of Cain, what he did, cast them out a little bit further. Israel, because of their sin, what happened? He cast them out, sent them into the Babylonian captivity. God tends to cast out. When people cast him off, he casts them out. He sets them by themselves, that they may learn humility and to trust in him and his sovereignty over them, goodness towards them. And finally, another way it's described in Scripture is just being unhumbled. It means to be low in condition, in mind, in situation, or in any other respect. You think of Belshazzar, what Daniel said to Belshazzar in Daniel 5 and verse 22. And you, Belshazzar, his son, Nebuchadnezzar's son, or his grandson, oh Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart. You see, he had everything. He was king. He had all the golden cups and goblets. He had wine aplenty. He had food aplenty. He had all that heart could wish. He never humbled his heart before God and sought God. And so God humbled him. Indeed, even to death, took his life away. You have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. You knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. What happened because he was proud against God, and God humbled him and turned him into an animal for a season, temporarily, until he recognized the God of glory, the God of heaven, and his sovereignty, giving the kingdom to whoever he will and taking it from whoever he will. Although you knew all this, you didn't humble your heart. And look what happened, my dear friend, to Nebuchadnezzar. God made a beast of him. Look at what happened to Belshazzar. God took his life away. I'm preaching this, my dear friends, to cause you to be aware, beware, to warn you. Sometimes the preacher must do that. He must not only encourage and comfort and seek to lift up, but sometimes to warn. Be warned, my dear friends. Watch your heart. Ministers have got to watch. Officers have got to watch. Church members, all Christians have got to watch this, because we're so prone to this. It was the first sin. God cast them out, my dear friends. And it's a sin in our hearts still. If you think you've mastered pride, you don't know your own heart. You've got to put your foot on it like Michael on the dragon. And you've got to keep your foot on it, keep it down, lest it rise up. And you rise up against God. And God, you find yourself being disciplined and chastened by him. So that is the warning. There should be plenty, my dear friends, to keep us humble and not to be like this. When you think, my dear friends, that God has made us and not we ourselves, if we're his people, it's all of his doing, isn't it? You know, sin is all our own, salvation is of the Lord. There's so much to keep us humble, but we're so prone still to pride. This is a great sin of our hearts. But God, through grace, can make us lowly and humble. And I want to encourage you this evening to be like, don't be like this, like we've just seen. The world is like that. We're not to be like that. We're to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to follow his example. And he was spiritually lowly, meek and lowly in heart. Let me encourage you to be like this today, to be like this week, before God and before his Son and before his cross and before this table. Be like this, my dear friends. Be lowly. Scripture tells us that our hearts may not be proud through grace, they may be contrite. It means they may be broken on account of our sin, broken on account of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God towards us, the way in which he saved us through faith alone, and his dealings with us. Our spirits, our hearts can be broken, bruised, crushed sometimes, and smitten. We can be smitten in spirit particularly. Perhaps, my dear friends, after times of lack of humility, after times of sin, like David, as a believer, committing adultery with Uriah's wife Bathsheba, and then seeking to kill him. Oh, my dear friends, there was plenty in his life to crush him down, as it were, to bruise him, to give him a broken and a contrite heart. My dear friend, if you want a contrite heart, all you need to think about is not only the way in which God has saved you, but also what he saved you from. Why he had to save you? Because of all of your sin, all of your iniquity, all of your transgression. Just record the sins of your youth. Just record your recent sins. And there's enough to keep us right down low before God. David said, Psalm 71, 51 and verse 17, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. That's what he had. Because he had sinned in this way. God had convicted him, but God had brought him back to himself. God's faithfulness and love and grace towards him. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou art not despise. Do you have this lovely, contrite heart, which is lovely in the sight of God? Because it's a work of grace to make such proud people to behave in such a way, to have such a heart as this. Our hearts also might be lowly, humble, low, like our Lord Jesus Christ's. My dear friends, if he could voluntarily and willingly humble himself under the Father and be obedient to his Father, how much more should we be humble under God and humble before him? He said to those people who labored and were heavy laden, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. And that's what he says to you this evening. This week, learn of me, follow my example, follow my pattern, emulate me, look at me. Even me, the Son of God, I am meek and I'm lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest to your souls. You look at the Lord Jesus Christ throughout his life, how indeed how humble and lowly he was, humble to his Father, whatever his Father wanted him to do. Humbled himself under the law in order that we might be redeemed from under the law and become the children of God, the sons of God. Humbled himself in so many ways. Humbled himself to come into this world incarnate. Well, if he could do that, my dear friends. As one once said, if he could become the door, you can become the doormat. Humble yourself before others and be a servant to all. Do you have this lowly heart? And also, he had a heart that was meek. Meek here means easy, humble, mild, gentle, but not weak. It's not an easy one, this matter of meekness. Our Lord was meek. As the eternal Son of God, Moses was meekest man in all the earth in his day. What is meekness? Here's a description of meekness for you. In its use in Scripture, I'm taking this from Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, it's a great book. In its use in Scripture, in which it has a fuller, deeper significance than in non-scriptural Greek writings, it consists not in a person's outward behaviour only, nor yet in his relations to his fellow men, as little in his mere natural disposition. Rather, this is an inwrought grace of the soul. See, it's sin that makes us proud and all these other things. But it's grace that makes us contrite, humble, lowly, meek, a learner of him. It's an inwrought grace of the soul. And my dear friends, we not only need grace in order to make us like this, we need God's continued grace that we might continue to be like this. Because my dear friends, the moment that God removes his hand from you, I'm afraid you'll become inflated. You need to ask him, Lord, keep your hand upon me, restrain me. Help me, keep me meek and humble under your hand. It's an inwrought grace of the soul, and the exercise of it are first and chiefly towards God. It is that temperate spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting, complaining or grumbling. It's closely linked with the word, the Greek word for humility, and is usually used with it. Meek and lowly, meek and humble. It is only the humble heart which is also the meek, and which as such does not fight against God, and more or less struggle and contend with him. This meekness, however, being first of all a meekness before God, is also such in the face of men, even of evil men, out of a sense that these, with the insults and injuries which they may inflict, are permitted and employed by him for the chastening and purifying of his elect. The meaning of this Greek word, meek, is not readily expressed in English. For the terms meekness, mildness, commonly used, suggest weakness and pusillanimity to a greater or less extent. Resist does nothing of the kind. Now, this is difficult to find a rendering less open to objection than meekness. Gentleness has been suggested. But this describes a condition of mind and heart, and as gentleness is appropriate rather to actions, this word is no better than that used in both English versions. He says, it must be clearly understood, therefore, that the meekness manifested by our Lord and commended to us as his people is the fruit, not of power, but of weakness, but of power. The common assumption is that when a man is meek, it is because he cannot help himself. But our Lord was meek because he had the infinite resources of God at his command. Described negatively, it's the opposite of self-assertiveness, and that's the word for you today, and self-interest. It is equanimity of spirit that is neither elated nor cast down, simply because it's not occupied with self at all. Meek, our Lord, as Moses was meek. We're to be like them, we're to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Be meek and lowly of heart. Well, are we like this, my dear friends? Let's call upon God tonight and look to him for the grace to be low before him. Especially when we come to this table, if anything should humble us, it is this. When we think of what our Lord did in order to save us and to reconcile us to himself. So the spiritual height of our hearts. Scripture teaches they may be spiritually lifted up, exalted, haughty, proud, unhumbled, ugly. That's the world. May that be gone, gone forever, my dear friends. Put your foot on that. Ask God to deal with that. Humble you in all your experiences of life. And my dear friends, may we ask him to cultivate this grace. Spiritual lowliness, contriteness, contrition before him, and meekness, which in the sight of God is lovely and worthy and valuable. Or may we be like our Saviour in this respect. Well, may God speak to us through that word tonight. Amen.